This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us from delivering powerful, meaningful and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy. Your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture. Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Tass.
Our next guest is straight from Victorian Trades Hall. We've got Pia Chaveri in the studio. Pia Chaveri is from the equality team at Trades Hall. Good morning to you, Pia. Great to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Pia, tell us, what is the equality team?
Mm-hmm. So in 2016,
I was only a couple of years ago, Pia.
I know. we received funding through the equality portfolio of the government, state government, to fund us to deliver some... to develop an understanding around LGBTIQ workers' issues in Victoria, and that was to extend upon what the issues LGBTIQ workers faced beyond marriage equality, as in marriage equality wasn't the end solution for us all. It was around also understanding the actual barriers and discrimination that LGBTIQ workers face every day in the workplace.
Wow. That's interesting that the Victorian Trades Hall actually decided to do that piece of work, and that is quite separate to all the other work that's taken place in our community. So what did you find? What were the key issues?
We found that people still, LGBTIQ workers, still face high levels of discrimination and marginalisation in workplaces. So this can vary from outright what we would describe as gendered violence, like outright homophobia, transphobia, biphobia, etc. But also structural, so that would be verbal or even physical violence directed towards LGBTIQ workers. But then there's the subtler or covert or systemic discrimination that occurs as well. So that might be like family-friendly policies that are not friendly for LGBTIQ members. So... for example, where we have definitions of spouse or partner or what a parent is that doesn't actually cover the rainbow families that we see now. So we would certainly see that coming up a lot. Also, obviously, things like dignity around toilet use. We don't see, in some workplaces, women, cisgendered women don't have access to toilets, let alone LGBTIQ people, like people who are non-binary or identified as trans. So things like that occur as well. And obviously I think we have, like, what do we call it, the rainbow gap or pink gap, like where we don't see...
I haven't heard of that before. What's that?
So where we don't see LGBTIQ workers in higher levels of leadership responsibility, etc., in the same way that there's a gap for
the
women.
Pink, we'll call it the pink ceiling.
Okay, the pink ceiling, that's it.
No, I think you should join the health sector. We're everywhere.
Sure. Yes, I mean across the whole community.
I understand what you're saying. So, Pia, what about, so you talked about some of those covert forms of discrimination. Mm-hmm. Are there many examples of institutionalised discrimination that still exist?
Yes, well, I think so. And that's the kind of things I've mentioned. I think in the interpretation of policy around workers' rights in a workplace, around... so the things I've talked about.
But nobody has policies these days that say LGBTI people to the right, everybody else to the left.
No, but we can word things better than we have. So I haven't got examples here in front of me, but we can certainly word things better to include family as a broader definition. We can include partnerships, parents, family-like roles. I mean, this is a significant one that comes up a lot, where I think we see that
more inclusive use of pronouns.
Definitely, but I think we see, the systems in workplaces can inadvertently or, you know, consciously exclude some members, including the awareness of the workforce that person works with. So their own awareness around what's okay to talk about, what's not okay. So examples might be being asked intrusive questions about your home life, your family life, if you're transgender, about your body, you know, all those sort of things that are not anyone else's business. But we do see that stuff manifesting. And on that, that's another key area, obviously, is something that we've been pushing for is clauses in enterprise agreements in workplaces for actual transition leave to allow transgender members to be able to actually take the leave they require to get the supports and whatever else they're seeking, to have that time away from work that's paid so that they can transition in a way that's comfortable and
that's
safe.
That's really important. We've seen, Pia, you know, there's been, you know, a lot of, you know, the union movement has changed, you know, in the last, you know, certainly, you know, in the last few decades, you know, to a position where it is much more inclusive. There's probably still some work to do in some of the unions, but you know, Trades Hall as a body that, you know, Victoria, that over, not overseas, but you know, engages all the Victorian unions. It's a really important piece of work. Yet,
a piece of work, Tass.
Sorry, it's a term Tass loves to use. But what's the future for, you know, for the equality group? Is there, you know, on the horizon, you know, some potentially more funding from the Victorian government or some from Trades Hall as well? What's the future hold? Because it's pretty important work.
Absolutely, I agree. I think that historically, I think we've actually had, the union movement has been a lot more supportive of LGBTIQ workers and women and other groups that we might just not have recognised that. So I think there has been a lot of support and diversity. It just hasn't always been demonstrated. Yeah. But now there's a conscious effort to try and make that connection really clear. Where we're at now is that we currently don't have funding to continue our work, but what we had developed was a resource and a workers' resource around LGBTIQ rights that includes like specific clauses that we would recommend being used or introduced into workplaces. So we have that, and then a training package that sits alongside of that we would love to deliver, but we currently don't have resources to deliver that. There's certainly a commitment and investment in furthering this work from the union movement, but again, it's about the resourcing, and currently there's just me, really. We had two other organisers, but they've no longer employed because of the lack of
funding. Well, I would hope that the Victorian government considers continuing to support this, you know.
Well, it's important work.
It was groundbreaking work. And, you know, so if they're listening, what do you reckon, Tass?
Oh, look, I think, you know, how long's a piece of string, of course. We can
Never long enough to get recurring funding.
What we would like to be able to do is deliver training, the training that we have, to unions, and then the Victorian movement, union movement, has potentially got access to 450,000 plus workers across the state. So we would love the opportunity to train unions who would then have that knowledge to then take out into the workplaces that they're representing. So
That would be a great opportunity.
That
would be fantastic.
So, Pia, just sort of a personal reflection before we wind up. What sort of impact do you think this project has really had on the union movement and some of your colleagues? You know, not just in terms of, like, you know, hardcore tangibles, but are there any other sort of softer, you know, indicators that you can talk about?
I think, I certainly think definitely more a sense that it's more, a sense that there's safety in being out and being who one is. I think the union movement is a broad church, as we know, and represents society as well, and society's a mixed bag. However, overall, I think there's a recognition that LGBTIQ workers are there and deserve to be supported, and there's a safety in being able to be out, and recognition about the roles that some of those workers now have in the movement.
That's a pretty amazing achievement just
in
itself.
It's a great achievement.
Sure,
yeah. It's a great achievement,
I reckon.
Look, we're pretty much out of time, but I think it's been really, you know, it's been great to talk to you. It's important work at the Trades Hall. I hope you do get to extend it and, you know, utilise much more of that training that you've developed and the resources you've developed.
Yep.
And it'd be a shame to see them wither on the vine a little bit. So good luck with that.
Thank you.
And congratulations, you know, on the work. I think it's really important work, and it does make a difference.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity to have me in.
Our pleasure.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.